go back over your notes or review the videos and put together everything that we've talked about. This is really ringing up here, Fred. This is really ringing. It's getting a lot of feedback up here. But when we say, "I will give you all my worship," that entails so much more than just singing some songs. Amen? It involves much more than listening to worship music all day long. Because it involves so many things. See, when my desire is that this church would become more of a New Testament type church, which was the pattern that the apostles established under the direction and the leadership of the Lord and the unction of the Holy Spirit. And I don't see anywhere in Scripture where it said that we need to do things different. Amen?
Amen.
And so I want my dream, my vision for this place is not only to have a new worship center out here that will be so much more than just a worship center. Amen? That the church, us, it'll be a nice building, but it will never be the church. Did we hear what I just said? It'll be a nice building, but it'll never be the church. Because we're the church, and there are specific things that as the church, God is calling us to do. In fact, when the New Testament believers gathered for worship, they heard the Word of God. It was more than just singing. It was the declaration of God's Word. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 11, it says, "These things command and teach." Isn't that amazing? That first verse causes all kinds of problems right off the bat. Because what we'd like for that to say is suggest and teach. Hello. Is this thing working? Hello. Command and teach. "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them." Thank you, Lord, for speaking to me right now. Meditate on the things of the Lord. Meditate on what God's calling you to do. And give yourself entirely to them. It's amazing that I just read that, because this is literally not supposed to be a part of what we're talking about here tonight. But as you know, I always go back and catch us back up. But I'm facing a dilemma in my own life. Because people want me to go to work, and I retired. And they'll offer you, well, I don't know what they'd offer you, but I know what they're offering me. And it's hard to say, you know what, no. And I have done some work, and I will continue to do some stuff, but this is more of a full-time kind of a thing, and I've been struggling with it until I read that right there. And it hit me. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. That's why I retired in the first place. Was so I could give more time to the work of ministry and to the church and to those kinds of things, and so that I would maybe have some energy left over at the end of the day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Listen, if you need answers, God's word has your answer. We might not like it, but He has your answer.
Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Isn't that amazing? See, the Scriptures referred to here are literally the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. They're talking about the Old Testament. And again, I have to emphasize the entire Bible. We have to emphasize the entire Bible. The Old Testament and the New Testament are relevant in the church today, folks. They are relevant to the church. There are rich rewards in studying the people and the events and the prophecies and the principles of the Old Testament. Our talents are improved by exercise, but failing to use them causes them to waste away from lack of practice and nourishment. It's like a muscle that begins to atrophy because you don't use it. So what gifts and abilities has God given you? What are the gifts and the abilities that God has given you? Use them regularly in serving God and others. And we have to be on constant guard against falling into sin that can so easily destroy us. Hello. I don't know about the rest of you, but there's some of us in here that are fighting battles every day. And the enemy would do anything he can to derail us, to knock us off the track, to disqualify us from being used of the Lord. We have to watch what we believe. We have to watch what we're being taught just as closely, folks. Pay attention to what you're being taught, whether it's by me or by Bob or by Fred or by Tim or by anybody. Pay attention to what you're being taught, because there are teachers out there that will teach you stuff, trying to be nice, that does not line up with God's Word. Like what I shared in the offering, about the offering. Listen, if you're in a rough spot, don't give any to this church. Keep it all for yourself. That's not biblical. It sounds great, and it will draw a crowd, but it's not biblical. It's not God's Word. And I'm not wishing ill on anybody at all, but I do know what God's Word says. Examples are plentiful, Old Testament and New Testament. What do you think the greatest, the commission? What is the Great Commission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There are churches out there, church, that aren't even hinting about sin and salvation. There's not even a hint. I'm not talking out of school. I'm talking firsthand. I've experienced it. Not even a hint. Again, God said in His Word that we are to preach the gospel, make disciples. That's the Great Commission. We have to watch what we believe. We have to watch what we're being taught. Read your own Bible. Don't take for granted that what we put on the screen is Scripture. Hello? You have a Bible, use it. If you don't know how to use it, bring it to church and practice. Amen? Practice. Wrong beliefs can quickly lead us into sin and heresy. We should be on guard against any who would persuade us how we live is more important than what we believe. Hello. We need to keep a close watch on both, staying true to the faith Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. I don't ever want to hear you guys whining about me preaching too long. Paul preached until midnight. The gathering of this group was on the first day of the week. This is one of the clearest New Testament references to the church meeting on Sunday rather than Saturday, which was the Sabbath. This was on Sunday. And because Paul and his companions were leaving the next day, Paul had an extending teaching time and he spoke until midnight. Paul had some things he wanted them to hear. He wanted them to know. So he just preached on. Paul didn't want to leave Troas until he had made the most of every minute that he had with his family of believers. There weren't fluorescent lights in those days. They had candles and they had lanterns and those kinds of things. And the flickering of the lamps that were candles that were in lanterns, and the combination from the heat from the candles and the gathered number of people in the upstairs room probably made the room very warm, made it very easy to fall asleep. Hello. This is no doubt what helped Eutychus fall asleep himself as he sat in the window. You can see clearly that the Word was an important part of the worship service in both the Old and New Testaments. And Paul spoke on and on, and Eutychus, likely sitting in the windowsill because of the crowd in the room, sank into a deep sleep. Because he fell asleep, he fell out of the window and landed three stories down. Three stories. Thank God there was a doctor in the house. Luke was there, the physician. And you know what Luke said? Luke said, "The boy is dead." That's the doctor. He's dead. Paul went to the boy, took him into his arm. He addressed the concerned flock. "Don't worry. The doctor already said he's dead. The man of power and faith said, don't worry." Isn't it just like the enemy to interrupt a worship service where, remember, we're talking about the Word being declared? Paul is laying it on him. I mean, he's up there, and I can just imagine that he is doing everything he can. He's wringing every bit of moisture out of the spiritual sponge that he possibly can for his family there. And and the enemy is trying to disrupt it. And this Eutychus falls out the window. The doctor goes down, takes a look at him, confirms the fact that Eutychus is dead. Paul addresses the flock and says, "Don't worry." And then, with powerful resurrection reminiscent words, he added, "He's alive." Bam! Don't you know that they had church right after that? Don't you know that because of the declaration of the Word and all of that was going on, and this guy falls out the window and he's dead, Paul prays for him, picks him up, whatever he did, I don't know exactly, but he declares these words, "He's alive." Don't you know that they had worship right then? Don't you know that they began to worship and praise and glorify God? All right, moving on. I can't tell you how many times I've said that, and here we go. We're going to talk about tithes and offerings. So hang on. We've already taken the offering, so it's fair game, okay? How many times have you heard me say that tithes and offering are a part of the worship service? I've said it time after time after time. And whenever God's Old Testament people came together into the courts of the Lord, they were instructed, it was part of the deal that they were instructed to bring tithes and offering. Listen to what it says in Psalm chapter 96, verses 7 through 9. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all of the earth. That sounds like worship to me. Does that sound like worship? See, when we're praising the Lord, the Jews, they lifted their hands and they lifted their voice and they looked up, but in their worship, they reverently bowed down. The invitation here goes out to all the nations to come to God's sanctuary, bring a sacrifice, and worship Him. If the only place we worship God is in here, we're really missing out. If the only place that we have worship is in the four walls of the church building, we're missing out. When Ron and I went fishing the other day at La Mola, it was a great spot to just sit and worship the Lord in for the beauty that was around us. It's an easy place. I mean, we can get so wrapped up in the things that we're doing that we don't see the bigger picture. Specifically, in verse 8, it says, give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. In days of old, every major act of worship found expression in sacrifice. In the days of old, every major act of worship found expression in sacrifice. That's why God said, don't bring Him a second-rate sacrifice. Amen? That's why He says to bring the first fruits. If you were, I don't know how many of you maybe even saw me do this, but I took the offering one time, and as I was taking the offering, I had an apple, and I began eating the apple. And I was talking about offering. I was talking about paying bills and having car payments and having mortgage payments and, you know, college payments and all that. And the whole time I'm eating this apple, and every time I take a bite out of the apple, it was representing some bill that you have to pay and all that. And by the time I got done paying all the bills, all I had left was an apple core. And that's what we oftentimes end up with to give God. That's why He says, bring me the first fruit, because He doesn't want your apple core. He wants that first bite. Amen? The practice was followed by the false worshipers as well as by God's people who sacrificed in obedience to the Lord's commands. And so in accordance with this practice, the psalmist called on the families of the earth to bring an offering to the Lord when they entered His presence. All the sacrifices that were commanded under the law were fulfilled by the offering of Jesus Christ at Calvary. How many times have we heard people say, well, Pastor, listen, let me break it down for you, preacher. The tithing was part of the law, and so it went out with the Old Testament. That's not true. You're not a scholar, you're not a studier of Old Testament, because if you go back and you look, Abraham brought tithes and paid tithes to Melchizedek before the law was ever established. So it's not just some afterthought, folks. We don't throw out the Old Testament just because we're living in the New Testament time. The sacrifices commanded under the law were fulfilled by the offering of Christ at Calvary. As believers under the new covenant, we are commanded to offer spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. That's why I think Jesus brought up the issue of the little widow woman with her mites. She gave out of her lack. She gave out of her poverty. Everybody else was giving out of their abundance. They had it to give, but not her. And because of that, the Lord said, she's given more than all the rest of you. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What exactly are spiritual sacrifices anyway? Have you thought about that before? Have you ever given any thought to this whole idea of spiritual sacrifice? Because we are, remember that 1 Peter, how many of you realize that 1 Peter is in the New Testament? Amen? And so this is relevant for us as New Testament believers. You also as living stones. Are we living stones? What does living stones represent? We're part of the church. Amen?
Amen?
As living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Spiritual sacrifices, folks, include, according to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, presenting our lives to Christ for His service. I'm not talking about pastors here. I'm talking about believers in Christ, whether it's a pastor or whether it's a janitor or whether it's a lay person or whatever wherever you're at, we need to all be presenting our lives to Christ for His service. In fact, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 breaks it down for us and declares that it is just our reasonable service. And when you begin to look at what reasonable service means, it's talking about just barely getting by. It's talking about just squeaking by. That's what he's talking about. But we ought to love him. Hebrews, according to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, a spiritual sacrifice includes praise. We ought to praise God. Here's one that screams at me. It's what makes my heart flutter. According to Romans chapter 15 and verse 16, a spiritual sacrifice. Now, we're talking about spiritual sacrifice. So think about this, according to Romans 15 and verse 16. Winning souls to Christ is a spiritual sacrifice. How is that a spiritual sacrifice? Have you ever knocked on somebody's door? Have you ever spoke with somebody off the cuff? I mean, just, you know, God's telling you, I want you to go and talk to so-and-so. You're freaking out. Oh, God. It becomes a spiritual sacrifice. And when we actually have the opportunity to lead that person to the Lord, wow! How does that make us feel? How about Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18 declares that as a spiritual sacrifice is the giving of our financial and our material resources to the work of the Lord. It's a spiritual sacrifice. When you give your tithe before you pay your gas bill, which, by the way, is probably going up, or your house payment, or your electricity bill, or your food bill, your grocery bill, when you say, listen, God, I don't know how this is all going to work out. I don't know where it's all going to come from, but listen, God, I believe by faith that you're going to make a way. And God, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to honor your word, and I'm going to give you my tithe first. And Lord, as I do that, I'm saying I trust you to make the rest of the month work out. So giving of our financial and our material resources to the work of the Lord becomes a spiritual sacrifice. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18 actually says this. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. This is Paul talking. Paul looked at the gift as a spiritual sacrifice. He laid it on the altar and glorified God because of it. Somehow, some way, I think we need to do something more in regards to the offerings that we take here. We take up the offering and it goes in a bag, and I don't know whatever happens to it, but I just as I'm teaching this here tonight, I feel like the Holy Spirit's welling up inside of me saying, you know what, why don't you bring those things to the front of the church and lay hands on that offering and ask God to take these fragments that we've just gathered up and bless them. Instead of just whisking them off or stuffing them in a little black box somewhere to be messed with later, or they whisk them off into the upper room and count it all up. But sometimes I feel like maybe we're missing out on something. Paul took this spiritual sacrifice, this gift that the church in Philippi had brought and given to them, and Paul took it and he laid it on the altar in an act of worship to Almighty God. There are such things, folks, as spiritual sacrifices in the Christian life. Again, according to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we are, in fact, to yield our bodies as spiritual sacrifices as well as the praise of our lips, according to Hebrews 13 and 15. How are we doing at yielding our bodies to Christ? What does that even look like? It's going to look different for each one of us. Good works are a sacrifice to the Lord. Good works are a sacrifice to the Lord, according to Hebrews 13 and 16. And so are lost souls that we are privileged to win to Christ. Paul sees the Philippian believers here as priests giving their offering as a sacrifice to the Lord. And in light of Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 14, we need to present the very finest that we have to the Lord. You would never go out and pick what we call a cull. You've all heard of bummer lambs. You know what a bummer lamb is? A bummer lamb is one that just doesn't make the grade, really. And a cull steer is one that just doesn't. His body structure is not good. His head, shape of his head, all these things go into account. His muscle structure, all that kind of stuff, it all goes into account. And you know, when somebody is buying prime stock, they're looking at all that. They're looking at the size of their head. They're looking at their bone structure. They're looking at the muscle structure. Is there, you know, when you're buying a horse, you don't want what we used to tease about is, you know, and say that, well, that's got to be a good horse, even if it's a sway back neck. That makes for a good mountain horse. That's what we'd say, because you know you ain't gonna slide off because you, never mind. God wants He wants that flat back, strong built, nice shaped head, good looking feet. God wants the very best that you've got. You know why? Because it represents your money. It represents the reality that that offering, that gift that you're about to give to God, costs you something. It don't cost much to give a cull. It don't cost you much to give a crippled, wounded, bummer lamb. Because you're not going to get much for it anyway. We need to present the very finest that we have to the Lord. Amen? So Paul doesn't see this gift as simply coming from Philippi. He sees it as the supply of his needs from heaven. And Paul's trust was in fact in the Lord. Amen? Paul wasn't saying, hey, you guys are going to have to send me some money or I'm going to starve clear to death. I'm going to go bankrupt, blah, 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 blah. Paul knew that his supply was coming from heaven and his trust was in the Lord. I'm going to stop right there because we're out of time. I'm going to stop right there. I want you to... we're talking about the offering. And I don't say a lot about it a lot of times, but the issue of money, the issue of giving. Money is one of the most talked about things in all of Scripture. The reason for that is because money, your control of money or your liberality with your money, it speaks about your heart. And I want to challenge you. If you're not a tither, I want to challenge you to begin to tithe. Tithe means tenth. And so one tenth of your income belongs to the Lord. He said it in His Word. I'm not trying to get an offering. We've already taken the offering. I'm trying to get you to understand the principle behind giving and the blessings that come because of it. And so, I want to challenge. It's the only place in God's Word where God says, "Prove me," is in this area of finance. So I want to challenge you. If you're watching by way of the internet, when we took the offering, we put up a way for you to give. If you can't get here and you're not a part of a local body, I don't want your money. I don't want your tithe. If you're a part of another body, you bring your tithe to your local body. Amen? But if this church is nurturing you spiritually, if you're being fed from this ministry, if you call this place home, the Bible says, bring all the tithe to the storehouse, and that's this place. And He says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, and see if I won't open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Young people, I want to challenge you. If you're not a tither, begin to tithe. Begin to trust God with your resources and He will bless you. I promise you He'll bless you. If you make it a part of your life right now, old people, myself included, don't tighten up now. Don't say, "Well, I don't have a job anymore, and so I've got a limited income." I got news for you. God can bless your limited income. I believe that. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank You for this night. I thank You for Your goodness and for Your Word. And God, I pray tonight as we have worshiped, as we have worshiped You in our giving, as we have worshiped You through the reading and the study of Your Word, I pray, Lord, that You would seal this Word in us tonight. I pray, God, that You would cause us to think about this whole idea of tithe and offerings and how it relates to me personally as worship. God, I want every dime that I give You, Lord, to be an act of worship to You, Lord. I worship you for the abilities, the talents that you have given me, the favor that you have given me, God, the career that you have given me, Lord. And now as a pastor full time, Lord, the income that we have, Lord, I believe is based off of the fact that we've been faithful to tithe. And I pray, God, your people would try you just like you said. See if you won't bless them. And God, not just to see the blessing in dollar bills, but the blessings of everything, because you bless in many ways. You just, some things you just provide, and thereby saving us money. Somebody will give us this or give us that. God, show us. Help us to try you. Help us to walk in obedience to your word. And Father, I pray that we worship you in our giving, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us tonight by way of the internet. Ladies, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. Women to women. Men, Friday night, 6:30. For men only, Saturday morning. Saturday morning, men, we need all hands on deck. We want to get this wood split up out here. We've got some more trees to cut and pull over. And then Sunday, we are going to have a great time Sunday morning in the Lord. Sunday night, we've got the Greens coming, and they're going to minister to us in music. And I'm not going to preach that night. I don't know if the Greens will preach. I imagine they'll have something to say. But we're going to just have a great night of worship, a great night of just being in the Lord's presence and being ministered to in song. Amen? So come and be a part of that. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your week. And we will see you soon. Good night.